got moved. Would you all pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Little Skidamarink, Bubba, Peanut, Baby Bear, Buddy Bear, Squish, Nico, Pickles, Bubs, Osito. These are just some of the names that I have called the children I love. I will spare you the slightly longer, slightly more unhinged list of names that I have called my dog, who has the already unhinged name Pope Joan. What we call each other matters. And this passage from the Gospel of Luke opens with such tenderness. Do not be afraid, little flock. Little flock. Possibly the cutest that Jesus has ever been, invoking himself as that good shepherd of which the psalmist wrote, what he means to say is, my dear people, the ones who would follow where I would lead, the ones whose trust I have earned, my beloved ones. Everything that follows only makes sense in light of that relationship. Every instruction, every word of wisdom, all of it is in light of the fact of belovedness. He continues, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In these words, Jesus is telling us something about the character of God. It is an unqualified promise. It does not say if you worship correctly, God will be delighted in you. Or if you get it all right or live a certain way, that God will smile upon you. God is not some tight-fisted, mean, frugal deity that we have to charm into being nice to us. God here is a generous parent who wants nothing more than for her children to thrive. All of them. It brings God pleasure to offer us the kingdom. The kingdom. The world as it should be. The world that God dreams of. A whole new arrangement where life flourishes, where the mighty ones are brought low and the lowly are lifted high, where every single one, no matter their zip code, no matter the color of their skin or the language of their culture, every child, no matter what, has what they need to thrive. This is what God longs for us. Not in some heaven far away, but right here and now. This is what would give God great joy. This kingdom of belovedness and thriving taking root in the lives of the little flock, our lives. Do not be afraid, little flock. It gives God great pleasure to offer you the kingdom. While what follows in the Gospel of Luke sounds like a list of demands, it is not. It's not a checklist of right action, it's a map. It is a map toward the kingdom. Jesus lays out simply how to get there. It is uncomplicated and clear directions. Sure, following them is hard, but the directions are clear. Sell what you have and give it to the people who need it. Make purses for yourselves that will not wear out. If you want the kingdom of God to take root in your life, abandon the pursuit of money. Pursue instead treasure that no thief can steal, that no moth can destroy. Give yourself to that which lasts. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is not a text about justification, about how to get to heaven when you die. It's not a text about salvation. It's a text about how to make this life, this one that we are living right now, meaningful and worthwhile. It's also about how to make someone else's life, someone else living right alongside you in this beautiful and too often brutal world, more bearable. This is a text about vocation. It's a text about how to spend ourselves here and now, day in and day out. It's a text that lets us know that how we spend our days matters, and matters ultimately. The writer Annie Dillard offers it simply to us: how we spend our days is how we spend our lives. There's no mysterious trick to finding God in your life. It's laid out time and time again in the scriptures. Give yourself not to the pursuit of power or wealth, but to love, and to justice, which is love's name in public. Show up for your community, in your neighborhood, in your church, in your intramural kickball league. Show up for people. Learn their stories and their fears, their particular hopes. Learn how to rely on people and how to be relied on. Show up and keep showing up. Even though sometimes people are prickly or even mean, show up even when you don't feel like it. Show up at protests and policy conventions even when you can't for sure know that it'll change anything at all. Try. Raise children, even though they will try your patience and break your heart. Be a part of the village that it takes to raise children. Care for our most fragile neighbors, because in the end, we're all fragile. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Over and over and over and over again. Even when it asks something unreasonable of you, even when it will cost, give yourself to love and you will find God right there, bubbling up to meet you in the neglected corners of our neighborhoods and of our hearts. God will find you there. But how to do this? How to give ourselves to this work of love? More difficult is how to keep doing it. How to keep stretching your heart over and over and over again amidst all of its scar tissue. How to do it when you did it before and it almost destroyed you. How to do it when it feels like nothing that you're doing is even making a dent in the vast troubles of our city, let alone the country, let alone the whole world. How to do it when you've given all you thought you could give, and justice still seems like a distant dream. Do not be afraid, little flock. We can give ourselves over and over and over again because we are drawing from the unending well of God's abundant love. It's not ourselves that we're giving away, but God. The God whose giving knows no ending, the God who has counted the hairs on your head, and so surely she knows too what it feels like when your heart plummets, when it breaks. The God in whom we find not only our strength, but our very selves. It is the energy of God that powers our work for love in this world, and that is an energy that cannot burn out. Still, it's not for the faint of heart, this kingdom building work. Jesus would not have had to say, "Do not be afraid," if no one was afraid. But what we build here and now for love and for justice, it will last. On this side of the veil, so much can be undone, whether by the slow decay of time or the whims of the ruling powers. So much of what we build can be undone. I know many people, some of you even, whose decades of labor for immigrants or the environment or queer people or science seems like it has been undone in a matter of months. And yet we are assured. What we do for the purposes of love lasts. Think in your mind of a fleeting moment, a time when someone called you by name or looked you in the eye and smiled, and you can remember it years later, a moment of kindness that offered dignity and care, nourishes someone for years to come. It lasts. Theologian Miroslav Volf puts it like this: God makes sure that none of what is true, good, and beautiful in our work will be lost. The work of each one of us is a small contribution in the grand tapestry of life which God is weaving as God created the world, is redeeming the world, and will consummate the world. This is the ultimate meaning of our work. Everything. Everything true, good, and beautiful. Every pan of enchiladas dropped off on the stoop of a home with a newborn or a grieving widow. Every time you stopped to talk to an unhoused neighbor instead of averting their eyes. Every bit of data that you gathered about cancer, drugs, or COVID. Every bit of dignity that you've given to patients at the VA or parents in the NICU. Every piece of wise counsel that you have given first-gen students at college, every bit of art you've made, every flower you have planted, every isolated elder that you have sung with, every single dollar that you have given to food programs, every child you taught in your neighborhood's Head Start program, every little bit of that will last. And it is God's good pleasure to build this kingdom among us. Little flock, what we call each other matters, and God has called you beloved, tender ones, children of God. We are, each of us, loved beyond our capacity for comprehension by the very creator of the universe, the one who flung the stars into the sky and set the planets on their course, knows you, loves you, calls you beloved. And this changes everything. Being so loved, we are free. Free to give ourselves over to love on this side of eternity. Free to spend ourselves recklessly on the work of love, which is the only thing we were created for. Compassion. Love, justice. Little flock, so much here is so fragile. It seems that so much can be undone, whether by the slow wreckage of time or the capricious power of tyrants. But what we do for love, it lasts. No power of this earth can destroy it. No moth or flame or thief. It lasts from everlasting to everlasting. Amen.